Today, we can continue with, we will continue with our, with lesson number 113 in our study of Mishnayos Meseches Kelim. We are getting deeper into the 27th Perek. Today we will study Mishnayos 4 and 5. Perek Chof Zayin, Perek Dalet and Mishneh Hey, Perek Chof Zayin, Mishneh Dalet and Mishneh Hey. We will begin with Mishneh Dalet. We learned that when it comes to all the categories of fabric, beged, sack, or mapets, they have different shiurim, different measures, different dimensions, which render them susceptible to be mekabel tuma. Beged is 3x3 tfochim, sack is 4x4 tfochim, or is 5x5 tfochim, mapetz is 6x6 tfochim. The Mishnah says now that all the above is true. If you just have a random scrap of beged, of or, or sack, or mapetz, then the shiurim are 3, 4, 5, 6 by 6. But hamikatzeya mikulom, suppose a person trims a piece of material and makes it shaped in exactly the way he wants it, then tefach al tefach tome, then if it's even the size of one tefach by another tefach, a small little patch, it is also mekabel tumas moshov. So that if a zov sits on it, it becomes an avatuma. All the shiurim we learned before is only a random scrap, but if it's trimmed and shaped, it's a different story. Then you're misaken it, and sometimes you do have even this small tefach by tefach piece of material to sit upon if you use it as a mardas for a chamor, as a type of a small saddle or blanket to sit upon a donkey with. Mishulei hakupo, suppose a person trims from the bottom of a kupo, he has a crate, and he trims a tefach al tefach from the bottom of the crate, of the box. Tome, so that is mekabel tumo. Mitzidedei hakupo, but if he trims it from the sides of the crate, Rabbi Shimon mitaher, Rabbi Shimon says that's tohor, meaning the patch of tefach by tefach that he trimmed and took off of the kupa is tohor, is not mekabel tuma. V'chachamim omim ha-mekatzeya tefach al tefach b'chol mokom. Once you trim and deliberately cut to size a tefach by tefach piece, even from the tzodei ha-kupa, from the tzidei ha-kupa, from the walls of the crate, it is tome, it is mekabel tuma. Why is this? So a simple approach is that the bottom of the kupa is flat. So if you cut out a tefach by tefach from the bottom, you have a flat piece, it's right to sit upon. However, mitzidei hakupa, it's kind of curved, the sides are curved. Imagine a round bushel of some sort. Then, trimming a tefach al tefach of that still is not something you're going to sit upon because it's curved, and you're not going to sit upon something that's curved, it's not comfortable. However, the commentary on the Mishnah called Mishnah Achrona gives a much more lomdisha explanation for that. And he says as follows. We've learned that a keli leaves its category, its status as a keli, with shinui maisa. If you do something, active intervention, physical intervention to change the keli, that changes its status. The reason is, because unless you do a maisa, if you just think about changing it, you can change your mind and leave it the way it is. But once you do a maisa, you take a scissor, a saw, a hammer, a chisel to it, and do something to it, then you're not likely to change your mind. But here, this kupa is a clay kibble. And the person needs the kupa, he needs the crate, because he carries his, he puts his potatoes in the crate. So he's not going to destroy a useful crate which he can use as a clay kibble for his potatoes in order to change it into something to sit upon. So one always has to be concerned that the person who destroys his clay kibble by some physical intervention, by cutting off a piece, might change his mind and put the piece he cut off right back into the crate and make it a crate again. So when it comes for the wall of the kupom, then we're concerned that a person may very well not leave it as a... If he cuts out from the shulei hakupa, tefach al tefach, from the bottom of the kupa, then we assume that he is not likely to change his mind, but he took it out and he's going to leave it out. However, when it comes for the dofen hakupa, to the wall of the kupa, then we are concerned he might change his mind and put it back into it because he needs the wall for the kupa. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon says as follows. If he trims from the tzidide hakupo, from the sides of the kupo, so he hasn't ruined the kupo completely, because it's still roi to be mekabel something, it has a bottom. So we're concerned, you know, he's going to change his mind and put this piece of wall of the crate that he took out and put it back in and make it a keli again. So it's not roi lemedris. In other words, this piece of cut-out wall of a kupa is something which if a person sits down on it, the owner of the kupa may very well say, hey, get off there, we want to make this into a crate again. So that's why it's not mekabel tumas medras. But if he cuts from the bottom of the kupa, he's not going to change his mind again. Because once the bottom is out, the whole kupa is ruined. And he's not likely to put back that patch. And we're not concerned, Shema Yimolech. That would be Rab Shimon's reasoning. Whereas the Chachamim say, no, once a person takes a knife and cuts out a tefach by tefach piece of a kupa, whether it's from the bottom or from the tzodim, doesn't make a difference. He's not going to change his mind and put it back together again. It's going to remain something to sit upon. And that's why it's mekabel tumas medras, even if he's mekatseya from the tzidide hakupa. Anyway, that's Mishneh Dalet. Mishneh Hei speaks about a biloye nofo chavoro. You have a strainer or a sieve made of hide or hair or reeds, and the person went, and it's now a ruined piece of strainer. It's no longer functional. So the person takes the remains of it, the biluyehem, the rags of it, the remnants of it, and he trims it. He makes it into a chair. He makes it into something to sit upon. He stretches it on the ground. Rabbi Akiva Metame. Rabbi Akiva says it is mekabel tumas medris, because once he put it into such a way that you can sit upon it, that's enough, and it already is no longer a sieve. It is now a kind of a chair to sit on. But the Chachamim say no. Just putting it down on the ground and saying I'm going to sit on this napo chvoro, that's not enough. Ad shiyakatseya, unless he takes a scissor and trims it all around and makes it into a nice square or round circle or something, then it is definitely a moshav, something to sit upon, and then it's mekabel tumas medras. Kisei shel koton sheyesh lo raglayim. Suppose you have a baby's chair which has feet on it, under it, holding it up, but the feet are not very high. Even though it's not even a tefach off the ground, it's right by the ground with an inch high little legs on it. Tome, it's mekabel tumas medras. A kisei of a negodol, of a larger person than a baby, is not mekabel tuma unless it has legs which are a tefach high. But for a baby, it's a different story. It's already a functional chair, and it is mekabel tumas medras, even though it has no gova tefach. Now the Mishnah continues, Choluk shel koton. Suppose you have an article of clothing, a little cloak that a koton, a little baby wears. The Rosh says, Biyom shenolad, an infant baby wears. Rabbi Eliezer omer kolshu. Rabbi Eliezer says, no matter how small it is, it's mekabel tumah. But the Chachamim say, Ad sheyihyeh bo kashir. It has to be the same shear as before. If it's beged, if it's made a cloth made of wool or linen, it's got to be 3 by 3 tfachim. Not only that, but v'nimdat kofel. Normally, the child doesn't wear it in just one piece, but it's kind of bent around him in such a way that it's wrapped around him. So v'nimdat kofel, it's not enough to have 3 by 3. You have to have 3 by 3 tfachim in front of the baby, and the baby's all covering the baby's front and belly, and 3 by 3 tfachim behind the baby covering his back. So therefore you have to have a complete beged 6 by 3. 3 by 3 plus 3 by 3 is 6 by 3, and only then is it mekabel tumah. And so we have finished lesson number 113, completing Mishnah Hay of Perek Chof Zayin.